We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Sitting in for Lawrence Holmes, it's Mark Grody.
Being taken out of context is just a way of life around here.
And Anthony Heron.
So a little Heron, and you know what I'm saying? But we were selling Heron back in the day, okay? All the great musician was on Heron.
On 670 The Score.
Yeah, we're back again, and on the show today, we will have of the MLB Network, Fran Charles. That's going to go down at 12:30. At 1 o'clock, we will talk to Solomon Wilcots about the NFL, the former NFL safety with the Vikings, Bengals, and Steelers. David Montgomery, you will hear two really substance-filled minutes from David Montgomery here about his offseason and his thoughts on last season.
It's like a 24-hour tease, by the way.
I know.
We've been waiting on this Montgomery sound since yesterday,
well,
so I'm really excited for it now.
I did say that it would happen either yesterday or today if we had time.
Yeah,
so it's banked. It is ready to go.
Building the suspense.
Yes, Herb has it in his hands. So we will release the David Montgomery.
It's like a cassette tape?
Yeah, absolutely. At some point in time during the show, that will happen. You can get a hold of us over the phone if you'd like at 312-644-6767. We are available on the text machine too. 67011 is the way to do that. And you can follow us on Twitter. That is Anthony Heron. You can find him at Big Ant Heron or me on Twitter. That's at Mark Grody Sports. You could do it just like that if you want. You can find us on other various forms of social media like Instagram and Facebook too. Just pretty much find us. Just Google our names. That's the way it works in life, and you could find us because I don't even really know how to direct people to my Facebook other than saying something like that.
You can get a unique URL if you'd like. I believe that's available on Facebook. Something like, you know, www/slot. Yeah, /Facebook/Mark Grody Sports or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I know that that
just
probably exists. I don't know if that does simplify it. I think it's much more simple in life these days to go to Google and put in one's name because typically you can find the person that you're looking for by Googling him or her. The Bulls last night, a 103-93 loss to Charlotte. Seven straight losses now. The Bulls down 19 and 37. We're not talking a lot about the Bulls here today, but there was the tweet of the night, I thought, went to the Score's very own David Schuster, who is the Bulls pre- and post-game host, because he was thinking something similar to what I was thinking as I was watching that game. He said that the fans in attendance are so apathetic that they're not even booing. And this was when the Bulls were down 18 in the process of going 0 for 15 from three-point land. And I was thinking the same thing because I couldn't get up any kind of genuine anger about the Bulls at this point. Like, at this point, who are you going to get mad at? Are you really going to get mad at Luke Kornet? Are you going to go off on Ryan Archie Diacono? Are you going to slam Daniel Gafford? Like, who is it exactly? Like, there is nobody to whom one can point their anger at this point on the Bull. Zach LaVine? No, because he's all you got.
Right.
Coby White? No, because he's like one of the guys who just really hasn't had an opportunity this year. And he had that one game where he hit seven threes, too. So the Bulls have gotten to the point where they're not even worth...
Maybe the medical training staff?
Yeah, maybe.
You got a bunch of injured guys. Yeah. Whenever you see somebody like taping an ankle in the bench area, just start to boo if that guy comes on the... on the Jumbotron somewhere.
They're not worth my anger either. Yeah. Like I watched it. There were moments where I was entertained. I liked watching Zach LaVine race down the lane and slam. Daniel Gafford, he's a good dunker too.
Right.
It's really all about the dunks last night. Coby White is good in transition, whatever. But they're like, even when they were down 18 and I was watching the guys at halftime, Kendall Gill and Jason Goff and Will Perdue, and they were kind of indignant at halftime. And I just, like, I wasn't feeling it. Like, they're like, you cannot be 0 for 15 at this point. I was like, I can't get mad. I'm not mad at you, Ryan.
The Bulls have just choked you out at this point. You've just been beat into submission as a Bulls fan, just not really feeling like there was the angst that was worthy of it. I got to that point. I was thinking about, in a way, kind of Chicago sports fans in general, man, because we had a, I got a 2-year-old at home, me and my wife, we had to take our son in for some tests to the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and it was just this.
Because he watched too much Bulls basketball?
That yeah. It can cause a lot of issues in young people, but we were there, we knew it was going to be an overnight deal, and there was just this constant refrain of the hospital just messing something up over and over again. The delay we had in the waiting room, the not even though they knew me and my wife were staying overnight, not having any, not even a reclining chair, let alone a cot in the room to sleep on. A 2-year-old here where you got no toys nearby because all the toys have apparently, and we're in the children's wing of this hospital, and for some reason all the toys are like already checked out, they're gone by the time we get in the room, there's not food available for them in a timely fashion. Overnight, we get there in the morning, every doctor's just apologizing for that. It gets to the point by the end when you're like, you know what? You guys have apologized. What I don't want to hear is another apology.
Right.
Like shortly before we're finally getting ready to leave the next day, I do not want anyone else to apologize to me again. Do I want you guys to do your job better? Yes. You need to be more efficient. But what I don't want to hear is another apology.
They lose meaning.
Because I'm past being upset about what's happening so far. What's going to get me more upset is if you apologize again. Just be better.
Yeah,
that's
be better.
The message I want all of it. I just got them all like around their little hospital desk, just in rapture. I'm trying to contain myself with this very last thing that they did that was about to tip me over the edge. I said, you know what? I don't want another apology from anybody here. Before we leave, though, I would like you to either be better or just leave me alone until I sign the paperwork where we leave today, because I can't take it anymore. And as that was happening, and then especially once we finally left the hospital and went home and went on with our day, I was thinking, man, this is where Chicago sports fans are at. This is where it's at with the Bulls. This is where it's at with their viewpoint on the Cubs and not doing anything over the offseason. This is where it's at with the Bears and feeling like all that unrealized potential that was there last season. Chicago sports fans are just feeling like, you know what? I'm so tired of being tired of you guys right now. I want somebody to do what you should be doing in a city like this with sports franchises with this history. And a lot of them really just aren't coming through right now.
We like to say around here that the Bulls are in NBA hell. I've heard it uttered quite a bit. I'm sure I have uttered it. I'm sure you have. I feel like every
purgatory is where I prefer. Yes, but it's.
I was just going to say that, man. Mm. You and I. You know what? We just became a team. You and I. We Excuse just. Me. It just happened.
Some synchronicity.
Right there, man. It wasn't the Busta Rhymes. It wasn't
not
that.
Not quite.
I mean, there was something to
we
that.
We could tell it was ascending in this
right,
direction.
Right, it's not Eddie Murphy because everybody likes Eddie Murphy. You and I have that affinity. But it is what you just said. It's not NBA hell. It's purgatory because those players. Because first of all, I can't get mad because the guys that are on the floor out there, for the most part, probably are not going to be affecting what the Bulls do going forward. And when I talk about Daniel Gafford and Luke Kornet and Ryan Arcidiacono, that they're not going to be key players moving forward. For the Bulls. Are you trying to hypnotize me? It's that one movie.
It is Get Out. That is Get Out. Except fortunately for you, it's a paper cup, so I can't cling on it a couple of times.
And you're the black guy doing it to the white guy.
Yeah, it's about time, isn't it? It's your turn, Grody.
That's hilarious that you we just became
I'm
a
glad
team
you
again.
Got that I'm glad you got that
yeah
anybody watching at 670thescore.com streaming us online can see exactly what Mark Grody was talking about in that moment.
He's sitting there twirling his coffee, hypnotizing me the Get Out
to.
Style
we'll see if it worked. We got 90 minutes to
with a wry smile on his face.
Would the white version of Get Out be "We kindly ask you to leave the premises"?
We're well spoken. Yes. Yes, indeed.
And take your white collars with you, please.
Yeah, but the Bulls, they are in purgatory because they don't even know what's going on. Like when they hear the news that we heard about potential changes in the front office, all of a sudden, when you wake up and you're an employee for the Bulls, when I say employee, you're a player for the Bulls, you don't really know what you're playing for at this point. You don't know if you're playing. Who are you trying to impress? I mean, everybody knows that Jim Boylan is dead man walking, especially if they hire a new GM. If there's a new GM, are you trying to impress Gar Forman? I think that's long gone. Is John Paxson somebody even whom you are trying to perform for? So at that point, it is purgatory because how the Bulls were slammed last night at halftime because, hey, they've had all this time off. There's 27 games to go. They got to get in gear. But what gear were they supposed to be in? Where is their motivation coming from right now except for purgatory?
The unfortunate – I mean, I was in this situation my rookie year in Detroit in 2001. We started off 0-12. We finally won two out of our last four games that year. It wasn't the year that the Lions went 0-16, but there were a number of years where the Lions threatened to go 0-16, and I was a part of one of those seasons. But Matt Millen was the general manager at that point. I was a part of the Marty Morningweg experiment where Matt came in and kind of made all those things happen. And there were points where Matt would come in and, like, address the team, even though the season was going horrifically, and he just wanted to try to make sure everyone was on board. I wonder if that's an approach that Pax takes at all. If he just does, you know, it's Jim's team, and he lets Jim teach the guys every day or whatever. But if there is a point where he just knows the world might be caving in on his guys and says, let me at least go and address the guys in person myself.
Good point. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this season as they host Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota at Welsh Ryan Arena. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. It's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron. We are in till 2 today. In 4, Lawrence Holmes. Coming up next, we will talk about baseball and specifically with Fran Charles of the MLB Network that is next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Along with Anthony Herron, I'm Mark Grody. We are in for Lawrence Holmes, and this segment is being brought to you by Illini Care Health. You deserve quality health care. Choose Illini Care Health for health care coverage that includes free gym membership, after-school care, and school uniforms that either you or your family can take advantage of. Visit IlliniCare.com today. Illini Care Health is a health care Illinois plan. Coming up, we're going to talk a bunch of football with Solomon Wilcots, as he is, of course, a broadcaster these days, a former safety in the NFL. Right now, we are talking baseball specifically with Fran Charles of MLB Network. And Fran joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Fran, what is going on, man?
Mark, yeah, what's up, man? Solly's one of my boys.
Yes,
so you guys, you got good guys on. You're
bringing
learn
the heavy hitters.
Solly, he's a good dude.
Nothing but heavy hitters when I'm on in the afternoons, man. We got to get them all out.
Yeah, I love it, man. And we, you know, one of the reasons we want to talk to you, we know that you've got the national perspective on everything that is going on in the big wide world of baseball, but we want to zoom in a little bit on our two teams here in Chicago, and starting with the White Sox, who for the first time in a while have what appears to be a promising roster. Do you see it the same way, and how do you think that that will equal itself out?
Yeah, I think Rick Hahn and company and the White Sox top brass, they've done a great job. I mean, you know, the last few years they knew they were going kind of in a rebuilding development mode. But they've played a lot of young players, but they've made a conscious effort to see if they can get in the mix. And the AL Central, I think, is a perfect division to do so. I know the Twins won 100 games, 101 games a year ago, but it's kind of up in the air. The Indians, you know, they're not really spending that much. The Twins should be good. But then other than that, I mean, you got the Tigers. The Royals will be fun to watch. I don't know if they're ready to make the kind of leap that you need to win the division. And look, I mean, I like a lot about this White Sox team. I mean, I think Moncada last year was a nice big jump year for him in terms of kind of figuring out, you know, his approach at the plate. I love the swag of Tim Anderson. I don't think he gets enough credit, a batting champ from a year ago. And look, guys went out and spent money, Grandal, Encarnacion, Dallas Keuchel, Gio will help add a little depth. And then I can't wait to see this. I mean, this monster, Louis Robert in center field.
Yep.
So I think the White Sox are going to be fun to watch. And you know what? I think it's a good time for them. Also, they're not necessarily trying to catch a juggernaut at the top of the division. They've got a legitimate chance.
The free agency process and the transactions the White Sox were able to pull off. You mentioned Rick Hahn and some of the talent he added to this squad makes them that legitimate contender. And you covered other sports for so long as well, Fran. I'm curious for the national perspective on the White Sox, because fans here in Chicago were really concerned at the start of the offseason, you know, after what happened last season and not getting Manny Machado. And folks were wondering whether or not you could bring legit players. Folks were turning down the Sox money. And now he was able to accumulate some talent to make this roster a legit division title contender. Nationally, do folks view the White Sox as a potential destination type of setting now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I will say this. I think nationally, everything that we've talked about on the network, and I hear guys say, I hear guys are high on the White Sox. So I think overall, people are expecting, you know, big things from the White Sox in terms of taking that next step and to legitimately compete for, you know, a division title, and then anything can happen once you kind of get into the postseason. I think when it comes to, you know, being a destination where free agents are going to look for, first and foremost, you got to win. You know, you got to develop the track record that you're a franchise that wins and is committed to winning. And so once you get that kind of under your belt, then I think that is the next step that follows. But certainly, look, I think it's a blessing in disguise that Manny ended up going as San Diego. No disrespect to Manny, and I think the Padres are going to be better this year too. But just it allowed the White Sox to take that money and kind of spread it around a little bit and spend it elsewhere. And they're not going to hit on everybody. I mean, and we'll figure it out. They're going to start playing the games for real in a month or so. But it allowed Rick and company more flexibility to bring in more players and then to kind of give the team the flexibility and also to have a little bit more depth. So again, I think overall they did a great job in the offseason. Now we'll just see how they put it together once the games count for real.
Talking to Fran Charles of MLB Network along with Anthony Heron, I'm Mark Grody. We collectively in for Lawrence Holmes here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You touched on the American League Central and the two teams, right? I still think Minnesota's a better team than the White Sox right now. Cleveland took a hit with Mike Clevenger having gone down, but let's zero in on Minnesota, maybe the White Sox strongest competition with the addition of Josh Donaldson. My question is, could they repeat as a 100-win team this year, the Twins, from your view?
Well, real quick, I mean, you mentioned the Indians, and we'll jump on the Twins in a second. Also, now I'm just finding out, you know, Carlos Carrasco is coming back. He had the cancer he dealt with last year, and Roberto Clemente, award winner, tremendous guy, but he's got a little hip flexor issue. So Clevenger's down, and then you have Carrasco, who's a little nicked up. So who knows if he's going to be ready for the beginning of the season? So that's, you know, I mean, you're only going to go as far as your pitching in terms of, you know, making a real run at the division. So Cleveland could be in some early trouble, I mean, you know, as we speak. But getting to the Twins, I mean, 100 games, I mean, like anything else, I think you have to stay healthy. I think health is a big part of not only having a successful season, but running up the win numbers. And that's one of the things that I think the Twins have had, you know, a couple of issues with. Look, if Byron Buxton, their outstanding defensive center fielder, if we've started to see him show signs of putting his offense together, but if he can, you know, if he can play 150 games, that would be a start if he could stay on the field. Miguel Sano, moving from third to first, and obviously a big body, a ton of power. I mean, he could box out Anthony down at the blocks there. Might give Anthony a little run for his money because he's a big. I don't know if you've seen him up close and personally. He's a big boy, but you know he's got to stay healthy. He's got to prove that he can do it for a year. But I mean, I like the Twins. I think Donaldson is legit. He had a huge bounce back year. I think he's going to help. Continue to provide some. They had 307 home runs a year ago, more than anybody in baseball. And you know, they lost a little power, but Donaldson certainly helps that out. And again, I think the question mark for them is their pitching staff. You know, is this pitching staff a starting rotation, you know, deep enough and strong enough to lead them to a division title? We'll see. But they're certainly a good team, and they can hit. It's just a matter of you got to stay healthy. That's the key when you're talking about 162 games in a division championship and then maybe getting to the postseason.
To transition to the north side of the city here has been, for a squad that really did nothing in the offseason transactionally, certainly not as much as was bandied about, there was still a lot of news being made by the Cubs. And the biggest news here recently, as you know well, is Chris Bryant will apparently bat leadoff. That's something I've been talking about for a couple of years now, if they're not going to take that traditional stance with their leadoff hitter. And when you look at the Cubs right now, for a team that didn't do anything, they're still one of the more talented squads in baseball with a lot of guys on the right side of 30 in their lineup. How do you view the way the Cubs lineup stacks up and their potential, you know, to outperform their Pecota projections again?
I couldn't agree with you more, Anthony. I mean, I've been saying this ever since, I mean, the season ended. I mean, you know, people act as if the Cubs won 60 games a year ago. I mean, they still won 84 games, and I don't think anybody would be – I certainly wouldn't be surprised if they won the NL Central. I mean, I just flat out. I mean, these guys are too – there's too much talent on this team. Now, whether they put it all together is another thing, but there's just too much talent across the board. I mean, you know, Bryant, Baez, Rizzo, Schwarber, if he gets hot, Contreras is one of the best catchers in the game. You know, you still got John Lester. I mean, he's a bulldog, who's a beast. Kyle Hendricks will give you innings. So obviously they got to kind of figure out the bullpen a little bit and see if Craig Kimbrell is, you know, what kind of – he'll have a full season, so he'll have spring training, so I expect him to be better. But look, I mean, I'm not for St. Louis. I mean, I love me some Cardinals. I don't know if they necessarily got better this offseason. The Brewers have a ton of changes that they've made, and so it's you always then I think they do a great job with that, Milwaukee. But, again, you're rolling the dice. You don't know if there's going to be any cohesion there. The Reds have tried to improve, but are they – I mean, do you think the Reds are better than the Cubs? I mean, I don't know.
They haven't earned anybody's trust. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
there's
some good stuff there. There's definitely some good stuff. Their rotation, at least their top three guys, and around the infield. I think Eugenio Suarez might be an MVP candidate, but I don't know, Fran. Like, whenever we see this in all sports, when you have that team that seems fashionable because they add a bunch of parts.
Right.
Doesn't always pan out, does
it?
Agree.
No, I and more often than not, it doesn't. That's why I don't see how people, I mean, can't really consider the Cubs a serious threat, because again, there's just too much talent on the team for them not to be relevant. And I think David Ross is going to do a pretty good job. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, just nationally say, oh, well, you know, it's his first managing gig, and he was a player on that team, but I think Ross, he's got in terms of the veteran guys who were his former teammates, he definitely has their respect, and I think he's going to do a nice job of kind of flipping the switch from being teammate to manager, and he'll kind of lay that down early. So I expect David to do well.
And Fran, before we let you go, because you've been at the forefront, whether it was at the NFL Network or now at the MLB Network, when you've had the inside track on covering some of the big stories and being involved with networks that focus on certain leagues, and now obviously the Astros cheating scandal has been at the forefront of everyone's headlines here recently. Now that Rob Manfred is catching all the heat he's catching for catching the Astros and not doing enough about it, I suppose. I'm not even completely sure why everyone's so upset specifically at him. But is there another shoe to drop? Is it going to involve the Red Sox when those findings come out? Or what do you foresee as potentially being next here?
Well, the word on the street is that by the end of next week, we'll have the results from MLB's investigation into the Red Sox. And I think, again, I mean, I think, Anthony, you hit the nail on the head. I'm just trying to figure out why everybody is so upset with the commissioner. Only from this vantage point, you know, I think if people kind of go through this situation in real time, I'm not quite sure what else they really expected them to do. You certainly can criticize, but I think it's important to understand what the rules of the game were. If you want to change the rules of the game, like Jay-Z said, you can't change a player's game in the ninth inning. If you want to change the rules of the game late and then say, well, the players should be criticized, I mean, players should be suspended, but they had the immunity going in. And that was a rule that actually was set up based on the 2017 sign-stealing situation that went down with the Red Sox. And that was something that the union and the league agreed to, that coaches and front offices would be held accountable in terms of penalties and teams, but that players wouldn't be suspended. So now you bring it forward. There's no other way that Rob Manfred was going to find out, get to the bottom of what really took place, if he didn't grant players immunity. So once you grant players immunity, well, then you can't then punish them because you've granted them immunity.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't a secret. Now, I'm sure a lot of maybe people weren't necessarily following it as closely, so maybe people didn't know that. But the players, and I'm a little surprised. A lot of the players have come out, and I get it, and they're angry. But I'm a little surprised that they've been as vocal. Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, Stanton. I'm surprised, you know, Cody Bellinger. These guys have been so vocal because they knew what was going on. So it's, I mean, they knew that the players were granted immunity, and they were granted immunity because of their own players' union.
Right.
So I don't really. It's a little puzzling. I think emotions play a part of it, and I do get that. But I'm just saying, I'm not up here to apologize to the commissioner. I just said if you're going to criticize him, understand he found out once an article came out of The Athletic. So he found out in November. He had a finite amount of time to do an investigation and to conclude that investigation because he wanted it done before the season started. If he doesn't get an immunity, this thing is going on. This investigation is going on. It's not going to be wrapped up. It's not going to be done. And he's not going to get the information. So I'm not. I think it's better for the sport. I think it's better for fans that he got the information. You may not agree with the punishments, but now we have a really good, pretty good understanding of what went down. And now he can move forward to kind of clean this up, as opposed to not getting the information. It's still kind of hazy and murky. And then, but, you know, you're going to suspend a couple of players. And I don't even know how that would work. I don't know how are you going to determine who gets, you know, how many games of a suspension based on who was involved, to what degree were they involved. Like, it just gets a little crazy. So he gave them immunity. The Players Association was down with that. Then after you do that, you can't then turn around and suspend the guys.
Fran, great stuff. Thanks for visiting with us, and we'll talk to you soon, hopefully, man. Appreciate you.
Mark, Ant, no problem. Anytime. Big Ant, you know I'm proud of you, man. You're doing a tremendous job. Keep it up.
Fran, you are the best, my friend. Thank you so much.
Take care, man. That is Fran Charles from the MLB Network. From the MLB Network to the NFL. Well, man, I guess I was thinking we still had somebody else. Never mind. Solomon Wilcox will talk about the NFL coming up at 1 o'clock. The former NFL safety and now broadcaster. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern football coach Fitz and the Wildcats. Return to Wrigley Field on November 7th as they host Wisconsin. Guarantee a ticket to this matchup with the purchase of season tickets. Buy now at nusports.com. It's Mark Grody and Anthony Heron in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mark Grody, Anthony Heron with you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are in for Lawrence Holmes coming up at the top of the hour, which is just moments away. We will move on to the National Football League. We're going to talk to Solomon Wilcox, who always has great information. He's been all over the place in his broadcasting career, a former Bengal, a former Vikings, a former Steelers safety as well. So looking forward to talking to him.
With the Rob Manfred stuff, like I was tweeting with some folks about that last night, and I think some of the things Fran was saying to us a moment ago just hit it right on the head. If you take issue with what Rob Manfred said about the World Series trophy, sure, I think that's a subjective thing. It didn't really offend my sensibilities to the extent that a lot of folks are acting like the, you know, all aghast about him calling it a piece of metal. But okay, sure. He should have phrased that differently. Folks talking about like firing the commissioner because why? Because he did something he wasn't allowed to do. He wasn't allowed to suspend the Astros players. And at this point, you want to go back and censure them after they've been granted immunity by their players union and then the other players around the league blaming the commissioner for something that their players union did? Just none of it really makes sense aside from the job of the commissioner is to be the punch. One of his many jobs is to be the punching bag in these scenarios. But when you legitimately think about what could he have done differently, I don't see very much.
Well, here in 2020, public shaming is a real thing, too, just because of social media. I mean, there's public shaming that happens every day, for better or for worse. A lot of it happens on our text line here at 670-11 on the score. But I know that that's not the blood that people are looking for as far as Rob Manfred is concerned or as far as the players are concerned. But there is something, I think, to be said for just putting somebody through the Twitter ringer. It's Twitter hell right now for the Houston Astros.
Yes, it is not purgatory. It is Twitter hell for them.
Right. The Bulls are in purgatory. In this case, Rob Manfred and the Houston Astros players and anybody who ever played for the Houston Astros during that era are going through Twitter hell, and they will continue to be publicly shamed. It's going to die down. I mean, everybody talks about how this is going to, every time they go someplace, yes, there's going to be stuff that happens, but it's never going to be as breathless as it is right now. It's just the way this society works.
The heat is on.
Yeah, the heat is on. on. It's going to change. It's just the way we work. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about the National Football League and the Chicago Bears with Solomon Wilcots, with the singing Anthony Heron. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When the heat is on.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.